From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is always such a pleasure to be in studio. I've been doing this for 3 decades, and I love it every time. I thank the Lord. Before I come into the studio, I spend time in prayer. I do it consistently, and I always am grateful to the Lord for the opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time. And I'm truly grateful for those who stand with me in the battle for life and truth, because I cannot do it on my own. And so our partners are precious to me in a way that is just beyond belief. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A lot of you holding on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up, Scott. Scott is listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Scott.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
What are your thoughts on progressive revelation?
Yeah, well, good question. And I think that this is a biblical idea, because if you look at the Old Testament, you have a certain amount of light. Abraham, who was a friend of God, could not see redemption with the same clarity that you and I can see redemption, because Christ has come at the time of Abraham. That was in the far future. Now it's in our past. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, you have progressive revelation being described, not in the same words, but the idea, where the writer of Hebrews says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So there you have an idea of progressive revelation. Now God speaks through his Son, who is made heir of all things. So in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came. And when he did, he dispensed with the need for types and shadows which pointed towards him.
Great. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Terry next in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you today, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I'm hoping you can give me a convincing argument about denominational unity. In the city that I live in, thanks to the Lord, we've made great strides. There's several prayer groups around town that pray for unity in the body of Christ. We've had several multi-denominational Sunday services and that sort of thing. So there's been great strides made. Now, there are a couple of churches that I've seen that just basically have no interest in it. My idea about this is that we are the body of Christ. We all praise the same Jesus Christ. And that would be the basis in which we would come together on, is our similarities, not our differences. And I've approached many of the pastors at these churches, but I'm having a hard time convincing them as to why we should be united. The church isn't the only place for Christianity. I mean, we have to go out into the community, and that's more of what I'm wanting to do, is get the churches united in the community so that the non-believers can see that the churches are united in Jesus Christ. So I'm wondering if you might be able to give me a convincing argument as to why they should be uniting.
Well, sure. As believers, we are united around essential Christian doctrine. We say it all the time, but it bears repeating. In essentials, unity. non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. So we are united as one around those essentials of the historic Christian faith. Now, there are distinctives that people in various denominations have. There are distinctions based on eschatology. There are distinctions based on ecclesiology, many different things, modes of baptism, and so forth. But I think that the sentiment that you have expressed is that we should act as one. We should love one another, work with one another, but we should never compromise the essentials of the historic Christian faith. You're also making a brilliant point in underscoring the necessity of being a witness to the world, because the world sees the fragmentation and asks the question, realistically, where is the reality of the Christian faith with so much fragmentation? It is very unfortunate. If you look at church history, you can divide it into chunks. For the first 1,000 years, there was only one church. And then you had a separation between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. 500 years later, you had another great division that took place with the Reformation, a separation between Protestants and Catholics in the Western Church. And since then, there has been fissuring that has continued to go on. And the unity that you're talking about can be illustrated through fusion as opposed to fission. Nuclear fission is the splitting of atoms, and with it comes a byproduct, nuclear toxic waste. Fusion is the uniting of atoms. It's far more difficult, but it produces clean energy. And I think this might be an apt analogy for what you're communicating. Of course, Jesus said his prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those, said Jesus, who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So the sentiment and the mission that you're on is a laudable mission. But the only thing that I would say in terms of caution is make certain that in the process, you do not end up compromising the essentials of the historic Christian faith. We can be unified around those essentials, but can never be unified apart from those essentials. For example, we can't unify with Mormonism. It's not because we want to be divisive. It's because they have divided from the body of Christ by denying the essential of essentials, the deity of Jesus Christ.
Right. That's a great answer. Thank you very much for that.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Annie listening in Miami, Florida on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. My question is, what do you think about the gap theory?
Yeah, I don't think much about it. I think that it is a theory that has no basis whatsoever. It's made up out of whole cloth. It was a genuine, well-intentioned idea. The idea was an attempt to reconcile the geological age of the cosmos with the Genesis account of creation. And that's what Scottish theologian Thomas Chalmers and 20th century Scofield did in his reference Bible. But the gap theory suggests that there is this vast geological age of ruin between the first two verses of Genesis. There's no basis for believing this whatsoever. In fact, the basis on which it is posited is taking texts out of context and making a pretext out of them or a false premise out of them. And you find that kind of thing done in the Scofield Reference Bible. The initial pretext that Scofield made was that create and made have distinctively different meanings. Create meaning to make out of nothing, and made meaning to remake or reconstruct something that was previously created. And therefore, the notion arose that the earth was created in Genesis 1:1, made void, waste, and empty between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and then reconstructed thereafter. But Scripture uses the words interchangeably, and that's why I say this is a false premise. It's simply not true.
Okay, thank you. Another question was, You know, I'm not sure if you heard of Kelly Copeland, the daughter of Kenneth Copeland. But basically, you know, his daughter and her ex-husband, you know, they fight each other on Facebook. And that's not Christian, right? I mean, even if...
Well, the whole Copeland clan, as far as I'm concerned, is involved in a prosperity gospel that has little to do with the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It is the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. It looks good, but when you bite into it, it's lethal. They are, well, they're helping the gospel in reverse. They are doing what they are doing in such a way that it causes the dear name of our Lord to be dragged through the mud. So I wouldn't consider these people to be those that hold to essential Christian doctrine. In fact, some of the things they say causes chills to run down my spine. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, before the break, we were talking about the Copelands. And I've often said that Copeland espouses concepts that are common to cultists. But he, in doing that, throws around reckless remarks that even make the deviant doctrine of the cults sometimes seem tame by comparison. For example, consider the striking similarity between Copeland's assertion that Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh, and that of Mormon prophet Brigham Young, who taught that Adam is our Father and our God. Or compare Copeland's teaching that God is 6'2" to 6'3" and weighs about 200 pounds. In fact, here's Copeland speaking for himself.
The Bible said he measured the heavens with a 9-inch span. Now, the span is the difference, distance between the end of the thumb and the end of the little finger. And that Bible said, in fact, the Amplified Translation translates the Hebrew text that way, that he measured out the heavens with a 9-inch span. Well, I got a ruler and measured mine, and my span's 8¾ inches long. So now God's span is a quarter inch longer than mine. So you see, that faith didn't come billowing out of some giant monster somewhere. It came out of the heart of a being that is very uncanny, the way he's very much like you and me. A being that stands somewhere around 6'2", 6'3", that weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple of hundred pounds, a little better, has a span of 9 inches across, stood up and said, "Light be!" And this universe situated itself and went into motion. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And that, of course, is not glory to God. That is diminishing God. You can compare that with Mormon founder Joseph Smith's statement that if you were to see God today, you would see him like a man in form, like yourselves in all the person, image, and very form as a man. Now, there are such things in the Bible as theophanies, but to suggest that God has form is simply to militate your statements against the statements of Scripture. And if you don't find that shocking, consider how Copeland's claim that Adam was an exact duplicate of God and not even subordinate to God parallels Joseph Smith's statement that God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man who sits in yonder heaven. Not only does Copeland teach that Adam and God were exact duplicates, but also perpetuates the myth that Earth is an exact replica of the mother planet on which God lives. All of that, however, is but the tip of an insidious iceberg. And as I demonstrate in the book Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, Copeland blatantly pronounces God to be the greatest failure of all time and then boldly pontificates that Satan conquered Jesus on the cross and brashly proclaims that Christ went to hell as an emaciated, poured out little wormy spirit. His words, not mine. Shocking, to say the least, but this is the reality of what we're facing within the body of Christ today. Those who are disguised as followers of the Lamb, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves, so be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you, night and day, with tears. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Diane. She's listening in New Mexico. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Hank. On a previous recording, there was a gentleman that was asking about the sins of the Father. Now, I always believed, and I've heard, that the sins of the Father would be passed on. So when you read that first scripture, I went back and read it in Deuteronomy, but then I read the other one in Exodus, And I do get it. It's not that it's being passed on. It's because we're misleading our children. Is that correct?
Yeah, and if you go to Ezekiel chapter 18, the whole of the passage, it's not a verse here and there, but the entirety of the passage is meant to communicate that the sins of the fathers do not pass to the children, nor vice versa. In fact, this is how the first part of it reads, "The word of the Lord came to me." What do you people mean by quoting the proverb about the land of Israel? And here's the proverb. "The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign God, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every living soul belongs to me. The father as well as the son, both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the soul who will die." Later on, right around verse 38, we read, "He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live, but his father will die for his own sin." Later on, "The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him." But you can go through that entire chapter. The point is made without equivocation.
Right. And yet, I've heard it not only on TV, but through our church where they say, you know, the sins of a father will be passed on. And I was just like, but so I'm so glad I learned something. Being a Christian, maybe like 19 years, this is something good. But another thing that same gentleman asked you was the curse, that generational curses. And you just said that's not even something that we should even discuss because there is no generational curses. But yet in Galatians, it said that Jesus came to take upon the curse. So what's the curse then?
Well, the curse is having to keep the law. That is a curse in that we cannot keep the law. And Christ has removed that curse because he has fulfilled the law for us. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So he did what we could not do, and therefore he has removed the curse. Of course, in context, I was talking about Joyce Meyer, who believes in generational curses and therefore confides that there's this spirit of incest that has been passed down through her family bloodline. So she has...
Mine is, I always thought because there's so much alcoholism in our family that was the case also.
No, in fact, you know what that does is it gives people just an easy out. So what happens is you say, you know, if you have the demon of lust, you go get an exorcism, you get rid of the demon of lust, and you say, it wasn't me after all. It was the demon. You know, it's sort of the flip.
Yeah, just like that young man that he pled that he, because he was, you know, what was it that he got away with killing so many people? And it's because he never knew better. And it's like, what? How did you not know better? The young gentleman that he ran away to Mexico.
Sure.
Influenza, exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I'm really glad that I was listening today because all this time I was believing, of course, but they were preaching.
Well, I appreciate your openness. That is glorious. Again, this is not about trying to be divisive, but the people who are communicating these kinds of things are leading people into the ditch. And you see the throngs that are pushing into the front doors of these churches and auditoriums, but what you don't do is see those who are falling out the back door, not knowing who to believe or what to trust anymore. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jake. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I am very interested because I've never heard this before, but you talk about, with respect to the age of the universe and the earth, about general revelation. And I was just wondering if there is several billion years that have taken place, if that is evident somewhere in the Bible. And I was wondering if the Bible is actually skipping over several million years. Is that okay to assume?
Well, no, I don't think it's okay to assume because the Bible is not dealing with all of geological history. The Bible is predominantly dealing with the issue of Adam falling into a life of perpetual sin, terminated by death, and the rest of the Bible being the unfolding plan of God's redemption, culminating in a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. So the Bible is predominantly not designed to give us a chronology of creation, but rather a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. So what you have is not chronological. What you have is kairological, having to do with the purposes of God in creation. So special revelation is not designed to give us the time frame. If you want to find that, you find it in general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands and his divine nature, eternal power, plainly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. But yeah, as you were saying, the age of the universe is measured in billions of years due to a lot of things, including what is popularly referred to as the redshift of the galaxies. The reddish light marks motion away from the Earth, much like the audible pitch of a train shifts as it moves off into the distance. Out of time, out of here. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.